and welcome to Overcast, episode 6, Under the Effects of an Anti-Gravity Device. I am one of your hosts, Clint Prentice, and I'm joined here today by my two other hosts, Nicholas Clement.
Hello, hello.
And Charlie Knopp.
Hi.
And our guest this week is Stephen Cady.
How's it going?
Going pretty nicely. We've got a show this week. So I guess we're going to get started with that.
Gaming news.
Apparently, this week, the Heavy Rain creator, David Cage,
yep.
is he like Nick Cage's brother? I don't know. but he said that L.A. Noire's facial capture is apparently just a dead end, that it can't go any further because you can't record motion and facial motion at the same time. What do you think?
I don't believe that.
You don't think that it, like... Like, L.A. Noire's way of doing it is kind of a dead end because you can't get the same performance out of an actor whenever, you know, they're doing it one way and then they're doing it a different way.
Well, look at you know, recent movies that use, like, all CG characters. You know, there's a way of getting mouth movement and physical body movement at the same time. But it still takes, like, a little bit of work to map them together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, for games, it's an all-CG environment, pretty much.
Right.
So it's probably more possible. Technology. It's just going to get better.
Yeah. Well, motion capture is never, like, the definitive, all right, as soon as it's mo-capped, then we're done. Animators can go home for the day. No, like, right. They have to go in and, like, tweak it and move things this way and that just to make it feel more fluid since, you know, the motion capture can get a little wonky at times.
Right.
But what's really interesting to me is David Cage said that they have a motion capture device that apparently, you know, they're either working on or they finished and they are testing now that can map both at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's a blatant bash, and he's like, oh, well, our fellow competitors can't do this, but we can buy our game. That's what it kind of sounds like to me.
Yeah.
And it's I kind of want to say it's slightly pathetic. Because
well, he has no evidence, does he?
L.A. Noire, clearly this is a huge step in the right direction with L.A. Noire. You know, the facial capture system has blown people away, and...
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
The fact is, it's a step in the right direction. I mean, you can only take so many steps at a time, and I mean, from what he's saying, so he's basically just building upon what they have already done. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Well,
it's just better.
I gotta say, though, I think that it might actually work in a little bit for L.A. Noire's favor, because with animation, especially in animated movies, the faces are most of the time a little bit more expressive than they would be if you're just, you know, acting out the scene. And they're more expressive because it's harder, especially, you know, with a limited amount of polygons and, you know, the fact that human vision is definitely a step up than, say, the graphical powerhouse of a 360 or a PS3. Like, you can't get the same amount of depth, and so they have to over-enunciate what they're saying. And so, at least for the time being, L.A. Noire's way of doing it is probably for the best, just so that they can get the greatest amount of detail within a character's face and have that performance exaggerated in a way that that the player can actually see what's going on.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, that's one of the main points based around the game. I mean, is to tell whether someone's lying or, like, saying the truth. You have to rely on the facial features. It's not about, like, I guess it's about their body posture, I suppose, in some instances, but more so, like, they're focusing on the face. In short, it's just a key element.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the first time I saw, like, an animated tongue in a video game, like, when they were talking. And it just blew my mind. It's like, that shouldn't be movement in a game, you know? And then watching the L.A. Noire trailer, you know, the one showing off the effects and everything, and I was just like, holy crap, is this like a real person they just slapped in the game? It looks so realistic.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone beyond that, what do they call, the uncanny valley, where, like, a fake character looks too realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they look more fake than they should. And L.A. Noire looks so real that you'd swear it was actually real.
Well, that's one thing about this generation that was the breakthrough for gaming, is that you get the facial emotions. They're able to show complete emotions through just looking at the face in the game. And if anything, I would say that if you get more detail on a face, then it would probably be better than just than getting detail in a body too.
Right.
It attracts people's, you know, their attention more. Well, I'm like, oh, look at his clothes, you know.
I'll tell you, I'm going to be playing the Name game while I play through L.A. Noire, because I was going through that trailer and I was like, I know that guy, but I know that guy too, and that guy's on Fringe. And I'm just like, there are so many names and faces that it might actually distract me, because those are some, those are, like, they look so much like that person that I'm going to be like, okay, that person was definitely a madman.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. My dad, who watches the show Mad Men, and I was just looking it up online, he was like, I guess, saw it, and he was like, wow, is that the guy from Mad Men? And he was so surprised because it looked, like, so real.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, and it's phenomenal. I mean, it's just a prime example of how far technology has gone, and it can only get better.
I got a question. I've been hearing a lot that Dan is supposed to be in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a journalist, and that will show up in different missions. He'll just be like a little blabbermouth in the back, from what I understood.
Is it his voice, too?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like
a whole video on it.
Okay, so I couldn't find it. So is it going to be like random quotes of him saying, like, this game is awesome, or I love Nark, and not even asking straight questions? It's just going to be gibberish that Dan spells out.
I really hope so. I really hope just, like, standing behind the main character, he's like, all right, just jump out the back of this car.
And just run away?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if that's the case, I'm buying that at the midnight release.
Well, now, there's one thing that I found really, really surprising when it comes to L.A. Noire. They're actually being recognized by the Tribeca Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, a huge step up from for the video game medium, that it's being recognized as valid entertainment and valid art.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get into it in video games are art debate, because we all know that video games are art, so it's not like it matters.
Yeah,
it's not big for us.
Exactly. It's just to show, like, because of what they've done in this game, like, with this new technology, I mean, the fact that it can be recognized and be taken, like, as per se an actual film or, I guess, cinematic experience is just really, really impressive.
Yeah, definitely. Very impressive. And the Tribeca Film Festival is a very large and prestigious film festival, and they... That's just amazing. It's awesome, is what it is.
Yeah, for Rockstar.
Yes. They've been hitting it really, really high with Red Dead and now L.A. Noire.
Yeah, and like the rumored Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
With some of the stuff coming out.
The casting call that they're supposedly having, rumored to be having.
Yeah. And I like that... how devoted Rockstar has become to telling realistic character-driven stories. And it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Solid storylines and solid game experiences, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
And a bit of unfortunate news, if you're a Mega Man fan, Capcom has canceled Mega Man Universe. And the only thing that they've mentioned from it so far, or actually shown, was a trailer of, like, a Mega Man figurine or something like that coming to life in a boy's room, along with, like, these other fellow Capcom characters. And it looked like these sprite characters, and I thought it could have been a really interesting experience. I mean, to have all these crossovers into this huge, expansive, per se, they call it Mega Man Universe, but I have a funny feeling that I think it was directed more so at a Capcom universe.
Yeah. It looked really interesting. I was excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I remember seeing that trailer or commercial, whatever, and when they showed Ryu, I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. Running around shooting Hadoukens at robots and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Oh well.
Are there serve bots in that game?
I don't think there were, but damn it, there should have been.
Yeah. So there have been a lot of layoffs this week.
Tons.
Like 205 from Sony Online Entertainment because they closed down three of their studios. I think that's really unfortunate.
Do you think that has anything to do with the DC Universe?
I thought that was selling and doing well.
I heard that it was like really only marginal, that a lot of people were trying to close their accounts like a month after starting because it just wasn't that great.
There were errors in game content or whatever.
I think there's a lot of issues, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, there's just a lot of issues. And once again, I think the fact is
it was really hard to compete with World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I think because it took on such a big, like, this was a big idea. I mean, a whole DC universe, that's a lot of characters and a lot of ideas that they could have put into it. I think it's just because the whole idea of this just large scale thing, I think it got the best of them. And it's truly
Final unfortunate. Fantasy 14 all over again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I really don't think that a Final Fantasy MMO should have been, you know, a numbered title in the series.
Side story crap, whatever. Yeah. Final Fantasy Gaiden, you know.
Dissidia Final Fantasy.
Yeah, no, don't mention that game. Oh my god, I hate that game. Blow up my PSP.
Hooray! Final Fantasy VII! Surge of Gerberus, or whatever.
I like that better than the real title. That was actually...
Should write the titles for the next Final Fantasy games.
Don't they have a sequel of a sequel for Final Fantasy?
A sequel of a sequel?
Sequel of a sequel?
Yeah, it was like... Huh?
Isn't that
Final Fantasy III?
Oh, sequel? Just a sequel?
No, it's like... I don't know the exact number, but it's like Final Fantasy 13-2.
No, okay.
Oh, well, there's 10-2.
Yeah, 10-2. 13-2 is coming out.
Yeah.
Along with Final Fantasy 13 Versus and Final Fantasy 13 Agito or whatever.
In other words, people call 10.5.
Right, but there is an actual sequel. There's Final Fantasy IV: The After Years.
Ah, well, there's another.
That's a sequel.
Fun fact.
But that makes more sense.
Yes. It's like literally a direct sequel. It's not like, oops, offshoot.
oops, we got our dress-up game messed up with Final Fantasy. I don't know what was happening here.
Oh, darn, let's market this. Why not?
The little two-step.
That's a step Meanwhile. Up in my book. Speaking of steps up, Ben Hansen has created this amazing documentary for Volition, the history of Volition Software, Inc.
Studios.
What are they? Studios. Yeah. Anyway, Ben Hansen, phantasmagorical job.
Oh, man, that was amazing.
Yeah, that's a great job.
Like, a very, very, very good job.
If I ever have a movie made on my life, I wanted Ben to shoot this film.
I have yet to watch it, sadly.
It's good. It's really good. And you know, it's really, really informative. On a studio that I never really played any games from them, but like just from watching that, I have a sense of, you know, what the studio is about, and I kinda wanna pick up some of their games now.
Yeah,
very professional, like something you'd see on like TV. It was really good.
Very like the whole production value is really, you were saying, fantastic. And also just to see how they evolved from like these space shooters to like Red Faction, which has a following.
I love the old footage. I don't know how he got that, like the old footage of the 90s games. That was crazy.
Yeah, I bet you Volition has like a vault of all of their of some of their footage and stuff.
Probably like the news clip and all that.
Yeah, like Will Smith. It's like an action game, like an action movie, but it's not really a movie.
What was he doing, sitting in like a satellite chair, just like staring at a screen, saying he's playing it?
That's pretty much just dialogue in every movie too. That's exactly what he sounds like.
I'm in an action movie.
Blah, blah, blah. Kill the aliens.
Okay, so kind of interesting and stupidish news. Ubisoft is filing an injunction against THQ for stealing their ideas and poaching their employees.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. apparently, a couple of people from the Assassin's Creed team decided to up and leave, citing, like, personal reasons and whatnot, and then went to THQ. These were, like, high-level, I think they were high-level. They were at least high-level in the Assassin's Creed team. Mm-hmm. And they were, and they apparently might have taken some ideas with them and given them to THQ.
Like previously set up ideas?
I think so.
What could these, see, that's the thing. They haven't released, I guess, further information, I guess, for obvious reasons. But, I mean, I'm wondering what exactly these ideas were.
I don't know.
Probably story. Too.
All I know, being an Assassin's Creed fan, I'm really worried about the whole situation.
Yeah, I could take her away.
It's not going to do anything to the games.
They're supposed to have only one more game, but we all know that's not the case. There was only supposed to be three in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, whenever you get a franchise this profitable, you don't just stop at three.
Exactly.
You milk that cow.
As long as it's not going to be like THQ presents WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2012 featuring Assassin's Creed, you know.
No. Anyway, it's upsetting that, you know, something like this would end up happening.
Again.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, guys.
This is this is the same thing that happened with
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it happens time and again, and it's not going to stop. I mean,
what it comes
down to is, who is going to offer me more money for my ideas?
Yeah, people need a job, you know.
Yeah, they had a job. I
think there's more to that story than...
There's definitely more to the story, but, I mean, you're making a really profitable game. I know that making the same game over and over and over again can get really monotonous and kind of boring. especially set in the same universe and stuff, but I mean, come on, you got a solid job, you're making a very high selling game, why go through the trouble of doing this to do something that may end up failing? It's okay to take risks, don't get me wrong, but don't take that massive a risk and end up with a lawsuit trailing behind you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There could be internal problems that they're not going to tell us.
Maybe.
No.
Who knows?
You know, maybe he could have gotten sexually harassed or something.
By the creators of We Dare.
Yeah. Like, public demonstration.
That's how they sign in to the studio. I don't have insider information, but this is what I think happens. They have to play a We Dare minigame in order to get into the building. And,
it feels like a key card kind of thing.
Yeah, except
one slap ass and you get level 3.
Except it's a Wii remote and it's not going in a key card slot.
Okay, please stop it. Just giving him a Wii remote. Just like, isn't this enough torture making me play Wii? And I have to play this game with it as well. Just end me.
Crosscut.
All right, so we're starting a new segment this week. It's entitled Crosscut. And in Crosscut, we discuss film, TV news, and also we are going on this very long and arduous quest trying to get Charlie to watch good movies.
Because I barely watch movies.
Yeah, and so she's never seen Back to the Future, she's never seen Jurassic Park, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
What?
I mean, all of these classic movies that you can think of, she's never seen them. And so we're going on a journey trying to get her to watch as many of these as possible, talk about them, and then discuss a little bit of news while we're at it. So,
I have to say that some of them I was too young to remember. I just
that's
have
not
to
that's not the same. That doesn't include.
It's a disclaimer. I have seen some. No. I was just taking out.
No, it just doesn't count. Like, unless you remember one of the characters' names and the basic plot of what happened, you didn't watch the movie.
Word for word.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Word for word reenactment. That's the only way to watch films.
Yep. This week we got Charlie Knupp to watch Dial M for Murder, which is a classic Hitchcock film produced in 1955 or something similar to that. Anyway, 1950s. Charlie, how did you like Dial M for Murder?
It was the only movie that I've actually sat there and not moved and been so consumed into the movie and just take in everything.
There we go.
Zombie.
See, like, these are the kind of movies that we're showing you. The kind of movies that you don't want to look away because something awesome is probably going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the characters are so fresh. They're so fleshed out. And, you know, you've got cinematography directing on top of that. And Alfred Hitchcock is my favorite director of all time. Like, hands down, favorite director. And this is probably one of his movies that's in my top. Well, it's in my top 10. I don't think I can narrow it down to a top 5 of Alfred Hitchcock movies. But Dial M for Murder is way up there. And if you listened to last week's podcast, I did mention Dial M for Murder and how it was filmed in 3D. Yes, 3D back in the 1950s. 3D actually...
When it counted.
Huh?
When it actually counted.
Yeah, well, here was the thing. Like, back in the 1950s, they were struggling to find a way to make, you know, the next big thing because TV was becoming really new and innovative and people didn't want to go see the movies because they could just watch it on TV. And so they came up with CinemaScope, which was a very widescreen format. They came up with two other ones along with CinemaScope. And then also they came up with the 3D. In Dial M for Murder, Hitchcock had seen all these 3D movies, and he realized, you know, there's something going wrong here, because every time that somebody is using 3D, they're using it as a gimmick. Like, here, let me thrust something into your face to try and get you to see, hey, look, this is something in your face. It's 3D. Wow.
That's why 3D porn never caught on.
So anyway, in Dial M for Murder, he used 3D to create a sense of depth within the room. Every single time that there was a scene, more than likely there would be something in between the character and the camera.
And so, I have to say that depth worked even in when it wasn't in 3D.
Yeah, and the only shot that Hitchcock used with the gimmicky in-your-face 3D was to reveal the MacGuffin for the film, which was the key that he hid underneath the staircase. Anyway, a MacGuffin is Alfred Hitchcock's term for an object that holds no meaning but is the driving force behind the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So anyway, like, I could go into more detail, but that's about enough of Alfred Hitchcock trivia for this week. Instead, I think we should start to talk about a little bit of what's been going on within the film industry. Namely, Sucker Punch is not doing so hot.
Nope. Yep. I had some expectation for that film. I mean, it looked like pretty much just a nerdy dream. It's just like chicks fighting like some mechanized robots and just like fighting, I don't know, like robot Nazis or something like that.
There was a dragon.
Yeah, exactly. It just seems like a combination of like
all these things awesome.
Yeah, and the fact is, I was like, okay, it'll be a solid action film. But the thing is, I guess I was too wrapped up in that to realize, well, guaranteed there's not going to be much decent dialogue or invigorating dialogue. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, it was style over substance, which, once again, for a Snyder film, does not surprise me.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it also doesn't surprise me that he had to go with a PG-13 rating for a film that should have probably been R, because Warner Brothers didn't want another flop of his, because Watchmen very much underperformed.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah, he wanted a wider audience, and yet it still didn't do well. So I don't know what this means. I mean,
here's how badly it did. Diary of a Wimpy Kid 2 was top of the box office underneath Sucker Punch.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned now, what does this mean for his Superman flick?
That's another concern of mine, too.
But there was one film they announced quite recently, Monster University.
Monsters, Inc. 2!
Yeah.
Finally got a name.
Oh, cool.
Monsters, Inc. 2. But the thing is, what's interesting is Monster University is actually a prequel, and it shows Mike, Sully, and all of them when they're, I guess, in Scare University, I'm going to dub it.
Yeah. That's actually what they call it, Scare University.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I
didn't even know that.
It's basically how Mike Wazowski and Sully became friends, and Steve Buscemi is also going to be in it. He played Randall, I believe. So, you know, those three cast members are definitely going to be in it. And so that movie will be coming out, I think, November of 2012.
Hmm. Personally, I just like anything Pixar does. Well,
yes.
Cars, Cars is mediocre, but yeah. Everything like other side from that, like WALL-E, Toy Story 3,
Toy Story 2, Toy Story 1,
everything Monsters, Inc. Pixar just brings out the inner child and me. And
Finding Nemo.
His films are
just a great.
I can keep going.
Great company.
Yeah, their films are adorable. I'll say it. Yeah.
The shorts are better. Movies are great. The shorts are better.
No, the shorts are good, but the movies are fantastic.
Yeah, like Up. Oh my God, Up was fantastic.
Yes. That was great.
But fantastic.
I like Hanging Out with the Birds or whatever it was called. And Presto, Partly Cloudy. I like those. Those are good. They're really, really solid shorts.
Yeah. Even though they just get you pumped up for the film.
Yeah. That's exactly what it does to me.
Performance.
And that's actually hearkening back to old school, film, back whenever showtimes were not a existing thing. You didn't go to a film at a set time. You went there, you got into the movie, and you watched it. There were some commercials, there was a little bit of news, there was a cartoon, and then it went back to the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho that he wanted showtimes so that people wouldn't know that the main character or the high-budget actress dies within the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, which was huge at the time.
Yes.
40-year-old anyway. Spoilers.
They do that in, like, every movie nowadays, though, so.
Yep. Thank you, Alfred Hitchcock, for doing that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll stop talking about Alfred Hitchcock now.
Yeah. And another thing that struck me quite recently in films is the amount of superhero films coming out this year and in the next couple years.
Yeah, and how rushed they seem.
And reboots. Superhero reboots, too.
And actually, they're already in talks to reboot the Batman franchise after Dark Knight Rises.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Don't touch it for a while.
No.
I mean, come on.
Don't touch that film series at all. Continue it. Christopher Nolan should be only the only man that should be able to touch his hands on that film franchise
now.
Okay.
But now, here's what I'm kind of thinking, and this is probably not going to happen, but it would be kind of cool if it did. Since they have Bane, Bane's the one person who has gotten really close to killing Batman. What if Chris Nolan kills Batman?
Whoa.
Oh. So that
might be too much.
We'll see. That's the very idea. I mean, that happened in some of the comics. I mean, they thought Batman was dead, but he was actually back in time. I don't know the exact details.
Yep, that's going to happen. That would mean that
they would have to introduce Dick Grayson, like Robin, which he swore off.
Yeah.
So
he said they're not going to be a Robin in his trilogy.
I don't know. That's I don't want to think about it.
I don't want to
say that.
No.
No, it's just, like, in the next couple months, more so Marvel is going to be dishing out the superhero goodies, I'll say. I mean, with Thor.
Goodies?
America.
Really?
It's going to be, like, Marvel is set out because, once again, every nerdy fanboy, I mean, they're breeding up the Avengers, in short. I mean, with Iron Man, with
Captain America,
the Hulk, yeah, Captain America and Thor, and like the Avengers, I believe, is supposed to be coming out, and it's gonna be made by in 2014. It's gonna be made by Joss Whedon. Like, they have big plans, and also
Joss Whedon. Yeah, I'm excited for it for that reason alone. Joss Whedon.
Yeah, and Buffy. And Jeremy, like, is it Jeremy Renner who's gonna be playing Hawkeye? And he's going to have, like, a supposedly a cameo appearance in Thor or Captain America, they've mentioned. And so Marvel is well done in their film industry, though, like, whether or not these films will be as super great, I mean...
Do you think it's because of them being bought out by Disney?
I think that has something to do with it. Disney wants, like, comic books seem to be in an uprising. And so once Marvel got bought out by Disney, I was afraid that, you know, Mickey Mouse was going to don the Captain America uniform. But this might be a little bit worse because they're churning out movie after movie after movie all within a couple months of each other. And then they're going to have this big Avengers movie. And it just that's quite an undertaking. And
it's oversaturation because they created their own separate thing now. I mean, there's Marvel Comics and now there's Marvel like films. I mean, the head guy who ran Marvel Comics, he's now undertaking like Marvel in general, and then there's someone who's responsible now for Marvel Comics and Marvel film industry, and it's just that's a clear indication of where maybe if this was Disney's idea, but where Marvel is heading. I mean, there's gonna be two distinct things, and that's super impressive, but a super big undertaking.
Okay, not Marvel, but DC. Green Lantern.
Yep.
I don't like the costume.
I don't like it.
It looks very plasticky.
You know what it looks like? It looks like he has a CGI body.
It is CGI'd.
Really? They didn't even decide to put a suit on.
That's right. He's wearing a green suit.
I'm done.
And they
over. I don't care.
The big idea that they had was they were supposed to be like groundbreaking because this was going to be the first CGI suit. And as soon as they mentioned that, I'm like, I'm done. First of all, I don't know much about DC and the Green Lantern in general.
I love the Green Lantern.
Yeah, that film, I don't know.
But I was okay with Ryan Reynolds. I'm fine with that. He's cool. But he's played like four superheroes already.
And he's got another one coming up too. Deadpool.
Plus, that suit. I just want to throw up whenever I saw that trailer.
Yeah.
That's it.
I like it.
I haven't seen it in action. I've seen the pictures.
In like Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, whenever they like put the invisibility cloak like at his shoulder so you saw from the head up, and he was probably just holding like a green piece of cardboard. Like, that's how it looks.
But it's all the time.
Yeah.
We'll see where this goes because
he's just a talking head now.
DC is trying to expand everything with like the Superman again.
They said at first they didn't want to do a Justice League movie, but now they do want to do a Justice League movie.
Crap. Because look what they're doing. Like, I mean, they have all these people, I mean, and then Wonder Woman, which is being filmed now, the TV series, and that
disgusting costume.
Yeah, people are getting pissed about that, all the fans.
You saw they changed it, didn't you?
What, they changed it, and it still looks like crap.
It still looks like crap. They barely changed it at all.
I think that Brandon Ross should be Superman in the Zack Snyder reboot.
He was really good.
Yeah, I didn't
know. No, I didn't like him. I was joking. You guys took it like totally seriously.
Oh no, I actually did not mind him. He wasn't that bad. I mean,
no, he wasn't.
I didn't like the movie, and just,
the story in general was lacking.
Yeah, but
he should have had another chance.
Well, after seeing Brandon Routh and Scott Pilgrim and Chuck, he's taken on this like persona of being a comic booky. Like old
like
school,
badass,
not badass, but like really tongue in cheek and cocky. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay, yeah,
yeah. See, that's the thing. He played a great Clark Kent, but to be Superman, I don't know.
But he played an awesome guest star in Chuck, which is everyone in the world needs to watch Chuck. Please watch at least the pilot. Get hooked. And catch up with the rest of us. We really do need viewers on that show because
canceled next season.
Don't say that.
It's going back and forth still.
Yeah.
Screw you, Steven.
My first time on the show and I'm already getting crucified. God.
Oh my gosh. No, I love Chuck. I know the ratings are terrible, but
no,
it's too good, and it's the only show that NBC has in their weekly lineup that's a 1 hour show that is consistent with its viewership throughout the season. Not of all time, but throughout a season, it will have a consistent viewership.
So in short, Chuck, don't cancel it, guys, and don't bought cancel. Subway sandwiches to support them.
Yep. All kinds of Subway $5 footlongs and breakfast sandwiches. They've been marketing that this year.
Yeah. So in next, I guess our next for the filming news, we're going to bring up a big film that a lot of people have been getting hyped up over, and it's Super 8 by
Super 8 and J. Abrams.
And I love films like this.
I don't know. That film is harkening back to like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And
yep. Classic sci-fi movies, which, I mean, come on. With the sci-fi movies we've been getting lately, we kind of need to harken back to the original classics of sci-fi that made the genre so great.
Yeah. And
J.J. has already done a great job. J.J. Abrams, director of Super 8, has already done a great job with the Star Trek reboot. So, I mean...
And Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Job in the
he needs
one.
To tone down on his lens flares, though.
No. Too many lens flares. Have you seen the amount of lens flares in Star Trek?
I counted them.
Oh my god.
No, I didn't count them, but I like it because it gave it style. If you think, you take out those lens flares, everything feels kind of plasticky and not so
But that's the charm of Star Trek.
No, but he wanted to make it it's a very low budget
generation reference.
No, it's a very low budget special effect, like just shine a flashlight into the lens. If you watch,
yeah, but
the special
I want to watch a movie. I want to see the character talking, not the light
you
behind him blinding me.
I don't care. I like them.
Do you have like a persistent flashlight over your shoulder, Clint?
Yep.
You need to videotape your life. This would be interesting.
No, but I like them. They bring style. And one thing that a director needs, especially, you know, like today, is like a style. And J.J. Abrams has a great style, and that lens flare is just
it's like
it's no, it's not a style. What I'm let me get to what I'm getting at, man. All right, it's just it's like a
signature, just, I guess.
A signature. That's it.
Yeah. That's the only movie of his I know that has so many lens flares.
Well, then get pumped up, Clint, because they
Super
move.
Super 8's going to have massive lens flares.
Star Trek 2, the lens flare continues.
Well, no, that's exactly it. Get pumped up because they moved the start date for Star Trek 2 up. And
yes, they did.
So, yeah, you can get pumped up for your.
Of course, we don't know if JJ's going to be directing. I really want him to.
Yeah, no, that film in general was just. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable. I mean,
it ain't no Star Wars, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. I mean,
I kind of want to watch it. Hey, do you guys want to just like watch that and not do the rest of the podcast?
I got it on my computer. I'm down.
Ah, yes. Cool. That's it for Crosscut. We kind of got on a few rants, tangents, what have you. Anyway, we are going to move on into our next segment, which is Facebook feedback.
Hooray.
Facebook feedback. Yay.
Alright. Kyle Locke asked, what game, series, or single game would you like to see a sequel to? For example, he's still waiting for Shinobi 3. Shinobi? Is that right? Whatever. or complete remakes of the original 2. But if there's anything that is a series or any game that never got a sequel that you think deserved one, what game would that be?
Chrono Trigger.
Let's start with you.
Chrono Trigger.
All right, Chrono Trigger. Any rhyme or reason to that?
Chrono Trigger, the original, was unbelievable. And when they finally put the sequel, Chrono Cross, out, it was just... It didn't even feel like the same series at all. It had character connections and stuff, but it felt like a whole different thing. They just need to make a direct sequel, same characters. Chrono Trigger 10-2, you know?
Sorry.
All right. Nick, is there any game that you can think of right off the top of your head that you would like a sequel or remake to?
No, I mean, yeah, I can't really think of anything.
Huh. I tell you what needs a sequel. Modern Warfare. Well, I'm really wanting a sequel to Modern Warfare 2 because I really want to know what happens to Ghost after they after Price was like
that.
No one cares about the Call of Duty story.
No, wait. I really wanted want to see what happened to Ghost because they only said that the one that your character was dead, and they didn't say anything about Ghost. And I want to know
there
because
was no Modern story Warfare. and Ghost got burnt by Shepard roasting his marshmallows on your dead body.
I was thinking of one because I kind of got into it after they've mentioned them on replays. But the DuckTales games, that would be cool.
A remake like with like with today's graphics,
like an HD graphics,
yeah.
And stuff, or just like
they were talking about doing one. The guy who created Epic Mickey said he wanted to do a DuckTales one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
Yeah, that was because once again, that's a neat little game.
Okay. Yeah. I think that they need to reboot games. They need to... No, I know. Sequel. I want a sequel to Sly Cooper. I want Sly 4. Thank you very much. Good night. Sly 4.
Never played those
games. They are so much fun. Sly 2, best. It is so good.
Don't they have like the collection on the PS3 or something?
Yeah,
yes. And I got to play through it again, and I was like, yay, and oh my gosh, nostalgia.
Okay, so anyway. Is there another fine question that you have for us, Clint?
What?
Is there another fine question?
Let's see. Robert Kehoe asked, which GI editor would you back in a knife fight and why?
I'd have to probably say Tim. His sense of humor is a lot like my own, so he'd probably stab the guy and we could laugh together. I'm just throwing that out there.
Make it really...
Oh my gosh.
Tim, don't really stab people, please.
Nick, who would you back in a knife fight?
This is a really awkward question, but I don't know. Dan
like
Biker.
If all of the GI editors decided to fight each other.
Like a duel to the death.
Which one would you want to win?
I don't know. I want to say Dan Reichert, but at the same time, after doing all that repetitive stuff for so long, he might just get tired like he did in Brawl. And just like, screw it.
We should make t-shirts that say like Team Tim, Team Dan, you know. Yeah,
definitely. Charlie, which editor would you back?
I'm
totally on board for making t-shirts, by the way.
I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could do it, editor. I think I'd have to go with Dan Reichert's dad. No, his dad.
Rephrase that, please.
Like, let's take that out of context.
His dad. It's still editor-based, but I don't know what editor to do. So I'm going to go with his dad.
Wait, what?
I'm going to go with Dan Reichert's dad.
The almighty Paul Reichert.
Is anyone else looking at this in a very different context?
I went there right away.
Have fun, Charlie. No, Dan, because I think, I'm going to say once again, I'm going to stick with Dan, because I think he'd make an awkward comment. He'd make the situation funny, even though shit got bad really quickly. Like, if he's like a slow death, he'd be like, brah, or something like that. Like, he would stick to his guts. And just make like random comments. And wow, this is just a weird question.
I don't know. I think I'd back Reiner. I think Reiner would win.
I think that Reiner would talk them down.
I think he knows some Jedi moves, though, actually.
Degrade Dan. Just like, shut up, Dan. Just like, I'm out of here.
Anyway, so thank you for that question, Robert. Next question. Miles Cattle. Miles asks us, what type of game has caused the most anger and, you know, thrown controller type stuff? Like, what game has caused you to chunk your controller at a wall and have a controller-sized dent in your wall like mine?
I have to narrow it down.
Yeah, I guess
there's one game in particular that really there's certain games that have kind of gotten to me and pissed me off, but one game in particular that stands out is Soul Calibur 2. And having to play through the stupid Swordmaster mode where you go around a map and fight different areas, and ooh, this level has ice and wind and it can blow you off the level. And oh man, I almost broke my GameCube playing that game.
Nick, is there...
Trying to think of one.
Well, you're Canadian. You're always happy, so it's not like it matters.
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm kidding. Do you have one?
Not that I can think of currently.
Okay. Charlie. No. Anything that you throwing your controller down at?
I'm extremely patient.
Oh, okay. I have one.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so when I was younger, it was Super Return of the Jedi for the SNES.
Oh,
and what
man.
Happens is, it was the Bib Fortuna, the Twi'lek in short, like, and Jabba's Palace, the one guy who, like, talks for him. And in the Star Wars game, like, he was such a pain in the ass because he would teleport and then, like, shoot projectiles at you. And the fact is, it takes so long to beat him, and he would teleport, like, directly on top of you and drain so much health. And the only, like, character you could pretty much use was Luke Skywalker because he had Force Heal. And that it took me months to beat him, but when I finally did, I think I'm pretty sure I dropped my first F-bomb. I was like, yes, this is the greatest moment of my life. And, yeah.
Charlie, do you seriously not have one?
Not really.
You need to play more.
Yeah, you need to play more video games.
There's a lot of anger management games out there.
Like... There's things that, like, I'll cuss at and stuff like that, but I won't throw a controller.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever thrown a controller.
I've thrown a controller. I've thrown a controller in my day.
I punched a pillow. I don't remember what games,
what?
Though.
You threw
a... I punched
a
pillow.
I heard something completely...
Because I was always afraid that I was going to hurt my hand.
I've put holes in walls before. I've gotten that angry.
While I was in Florida, I was staying with my boyfriend, and he actually showed me where he recently punched a hole in the wall playing Red Dead Redemption.
Okay, that's one game that I threw a controller down at. Because the cattle thing. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, we're building up a world, and it's really the Wild West, because there are really cows that you have to herd and stuff. Shut up, I just want to shoot some dudes. Like, God, there were 3 hours that you had to spend before you could ever, like, actually shoot a guy. And then there's 3 hours at the end that you had to do before the end, and I'm just like, oh my God, seriously, do we have to do this again? If I have to see another goddamn cow, I'm shooting it. And I ended up letting all the cows run off the cliff, and I was like, oh well, Bonnie, who the fuck cares?
Is that a tagline for the game? If I see another goddamn cow, I'm gonna shoot it.
But no, most games that cause me to throw a controller down is whenever I'm playing a game like a Call of Duty or something, and I'll get these like really bullshit kills, and it's just like, are you kidding me, man? That guy was hacking. I always accuse people of hacking before I do anything else.
That's because they usually are.
Down and I'm just like, hacker! But whatever. It's just, you know, I usually just shrug it off by the end of the game anyway.
I have a quick question, guys. Have you ever had someone rage quit on you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I experienced that the first time a couple weeks ago, and oh man, it's hilarious.
What game were you playing?
I was playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Oh.
And
I was just owning this guy, and all of a sudden it was like, eh. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah.
I usually get rage quit on because the very unlikely chance of me actually doing better than them, and they find out that I'm a girl, and they get pissed because I'm not supposed to be playing games, so they rage quit.
I'd rage quit on you in a second.
Okay. There's I have people rage quit. Like me and my friends, my friends and I, is that the proper grammar? Anyway.
Yeah.
My friends and I, we play Left 4 Dead, and you know, we stopped having fun with just like going through the level and doing the proper thing. And so we'd like to have fun with people, and so we do this I don't necessarily want to call it a glitch, because it's not a glitch. But, like, we hop off of this one ledge, hit a ledge of a building, and then drop down onto the floor of an area that we're not supposed to go to, hop over this dumpster where none of the special infected can get across, and then we just wait there.
Oh, yeah.
And then either that or we speed run it, and then it's like instantaneous server shutdown, and it's just hilarious.
Oh, yeah. We do that all the time, because I still play. I'm still avid. Gamer or avid Left 4 Dead player.
You're still an avid gamer? Really? Yeah. Wow. You're on a
group of people. And we
didn't
know
think that that would happen.
We know the game really, really well.
Yeah.
So what happens is we'll have like all these like 10-year-olds or 13-year-olds are like, yeah, I can finally play this game. And we're like, oh, good for you. Shoot you like in the face and then like hop down this thing, like beat the level.
Well, do you know the Jesus Room glitch? That's what they call it anyway.
What one? For what level?
For No Mercy, the beginning.
Oh, is it where you can jump down on the ledge specifically, and then you can jump down in the bin, and, like, the cars and just book it?
No. That's like, the shortcut. If you, like, as soon as you start, you go to the left, you look down, and there's the Humvee in the wall.
Okay.
And, like, you don't jump on the Humvee. That'll kill you instantly. But what you do is you get in the corner hugging the taller building on the right side, and you snug that. And then you hold down A, or I guess in your case, spacebar, which suspends the jump animation, where you hit the ground, but it still thinks that you're jumping, so you won't grab onto the ledge. And then you weasel your way down, and you hit this mini ledge, and that'll take about half of your health. And it's just like one step, you have to hit it really fine. And then you can jump down onto the floor, and you're behind the gate next to the police car.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in the level.
Game cheats with Clint Prentice.
Yep.
That's awesome.
It's so much fun. Anyway, so that's pretty much it for Facebook feedback. If you would like to submit a question to us, either message the Overcast Facebook profile or wait until we post on the Facebook group, and then you can send us your questions. If you're listening to it from the Game Informa community, just post a comment and we'll add that to our list of questions as well. Now it is time for our top 10 list of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Top 10.
Our top 10 list for this week is top 10 worst video game movie crossovers, where, you know, it's a licensed movie video game.
Yep.
Of course, pretty much all of these suck, so it's really hard to come up with a good list and then narrow that down even more. So there's probably about 45 more that we could have put on this list, but we didn't. This was just, you know, our list. You'll probably think that we missed something. We apologize. Coming in at number 10, we have The Fifth Element, the game. I'm not exactly sure where the game part comes into The Fifth Element.
Yeah. As long as that woman doesn't, as long as Mila Jovovich does not have any dialogue in that, I'm happy.
Well, I heard it's like 6 hours of Chris Tucker dialogue set to game.
Oh, God.
So,
and you're very
one button to punch him, another button to, you know.
Yeah, just like, shut up, because...
Coming in at number 9, we have Bram Stoker's Dracula.
No.
Oh, man.
I am, like, the biggest Dracula fan, probably of the whole group, other than Tim, most likely. And, oh, man, that game was terrible.
Isn't your jump, like, a foot, and you have to, like, pimp slap bats?
You pimp slap them with, like, a stick at first.
That sounds about right. Is it a sharp stick? Because, I mean, you know, that's living it, life on the edge.
I think it's actually Dracula. Like a very dull, almost like those tongue depressor sticks the doctors use.
Oh, okay. Well, at least he has...
It's like trying to, at least... you know, open your mouth and say ah to all the enemies in the game.
It's kind of a break, though. It is Keanu Reeves, after all. He hadn't figured out he was the one yet.
So even in game form, he's like, whoa.
I just think that's funny. Anyway, coming in at number 8. We have Ghostbusters for the NES.
Ghostbusters! That's every time you, like, the loading screen.
Ghostbusters! Ridge Racer!
It's pretty much the Ghostbusters theme song, which if you don't know it, look it up on YouTube, folks.
How do you not know that?
They're like, entire game.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
It'd be redeeming if there was lyrics on the Nintendo cartridge, but no.
Yeah, that game is no.
Congratulations, you have completed a great game and proved the justice of our culture. Now go and rest, our heroes.
Okay, if people haven't seen The Angry Video Game Nerd, he did a 3-episode thing about Ghostbusters. Go watch that.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier.
That's it exactly. This is amazing.
Yep.
All right, coming in at number 7, we have Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, a game based on a movie, based on a book. Ooh. What could go wrong?
Just makes it, like, more bad.
I played this on the PC, and I was so excited because I love Harry Potter. I love all things Harry Potter. Harry Potter, yay, yay, yay. And so I installed it, and I'm just like, yes, this is going to be the best game ever.
In short, you spend half that game. You're like, oh, Harry Potter, like, okay, I can use spells. You're like, yeah, you can use spells, but it's to find birdie bots every flavored beans. You're like, okay, but am I going to use it on any creatures, like these cool, epic centaurs or spiders? It's like, no, you're going to probably use them on magical brooms.
Well, yeah, and then there was the Superman 64 segments where you're learning how to fly.
Oh, God, that's painful.
It's a very, very bad game. Coming in at number 6, we have Pimp My Ride, the video game. Based off of the MTV TV show.
Okay, I could see this as a crappy Facebook game.
It was for the PS2 and the GameCube and all that jazz.
Can you even, like, drive the cars? Or is this like, yeah, Roy, look at these rims.
I think it's a racing game.
I swear it's just decaling cars. I could have
sworn it was a racing game because I never played it, but I remember reading an article about it and it was like,
I'm going to call this just a knockoff of Need for Speed.
Yeah, with just like ugly ass cars.
Yo, Pimp My Ride, bitch.
That's pretty much him. It's like, look at these rims, this hubcap, and you're like, ugh.
Hubcap.
Shut up. Look at these hydraulics. And you're like, I don't give a damn about these hydraulics.
Baseball.
Let me take left turns for 3 minutes and win, please.
In the game, players are challenged to pimp out their friends' cars by transforming something old and rusty into something worth displaying on the streets. Cars can be redesigned from bumper to bumper, and it will be the players' responsibilities to capture their styles, likes, and interests of their clients. So it really is only building cars.
That's terrible.
Wow, yeah. So it is a construction sim. Car building.
That's bad.
Maybe there's racing in it. I don't know. Oh, no. It's a mini game. Simulation / racing game. Oh,
after you design like 20 cars, you can finally race like one lap around the city in your car.
But it has to have hydraulics. Anyway, coming in at number 5, we have a game that was... Well, Nick and I, at least, were really hoping to be very, very good. Turns out it was very, very bad. It is Lost Via Domus.
Yeah. That was really unfortunate because when I was super interested in it, it was adding a new character to the mythos and, like, adding him in, you know, maybe a character that you would have seen in the background in one episode and giving him this fully fledged up story, which to an extent they did, but with crappy voice work and just mediocre stuff.
I was hoping that it would be like Nikki and Paolo. That would have been cool.
Oh, that actually
because I loved the Nikki and Paolo episode of Lost. I thought it was a really solid episode.
In short, though, you got like mediocre voice work where like Hurley is black. He's like, "What you know about this island?" And it's just like, "Oh, this is terrible."
And oh my gosh, the voice work was bad. It's just the one thing that I was really interested though was actually getting to walk inside of the hatch.
Yeah.
And like, just being in the Swan Station was just... I really wanted that.
Yeah, and it unfortunately did not live up to it. I mean, sure, it added a storyline to it, but that's pretty much it. It didn't add...
Of course.
Anything else. It was just...
a Gamefly account. So, I'm just gonna type that into the search bar. Lost Via Domus.
They're all rented out.
Rent... No, it's currently on medium status, so I'm just going to pop that up to the...
Nick, you got to return your copy.
I'm going to pop that into place number 3 on my queue because I still really want to play Crysis and Homefront.
I beat games to completion doesn't mean it won't take me like 10 years to beat it.
And, oh well.
Just have Jack as a Hispanic guy.
Get ready for hilarity and exhaustion from myself.
Yep.
Just listening to it makes me want to go to sleep.
All right. Coming in at number 4, we have the video game titled White Men Can't Jump. Based on the movie with Woody Harrelson. I can jump, I just can't jump very high. So
Woody Harrelson Snipes, right?
I think yeah. So, yeah.
Something like that.
Like Michael Jordan or something.
I really want it to be like some long jump Olympics event.
That's the entire game.
Okay, you can play as Woody Harrelson, jump like a meter, and then like as Wesley Snipes, jump like 50 feet.
What system is this game on?
It was on the Atari Jaguar.
Oh, isn't it like a full motion video game?
I don't know.
I vaguely remember seeing footage of this, and I thought it was like a first person basketball simulator game.
Oh like, my god!
Really stupid. I can't remember if that's what it is or not. I'm probably wrong. Someone can figure that out.
Can you evade your taxes and go to jail in that game?
Yeah. Make a couple of blockbuster movies and then evade taxes for 4 years and then go, uh-oh.
And then eat Winkies just on the sidebar.
Yeah, end credits.
White Men Can't Jump.
Coming in at number 3, we have E.T., the video game.
If you can call it that.
Yeah.
You know, supposedly those are buried.
Pixels.
Those are supposedly buried in, like, the New Mexico desert, and it's probably, like, 100 miles away from me, so I could go find some copies.
Yeah, isn't that in your backyard, though?
The whole entire desert is our backyard, yeah, so.
So
I could have one underneath my house.
I think that if you, like, went outside, dug a hole, you'd find a copy of E.T.
Yeah, I'd probably find a free Atari 2600, too.
And...
it's a little fact, actually. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, that ending scene where, like, who's taking care of it? Top men. In that box was in the Ark of the Covenant. It was actually, like, it was E.T. cartridges.
Charlie doesn't get that joke.
No.
Damn movie, Charlie. That film was fantastic.
Watch a movie.
I have watched a movie, okay?
No. You've watched movies. You haven't watched good movies.
You know, I saw 500 Days of Summer.
That was
cool story,
good.
Bro. What else have you seen?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. We're getting really angry.
All right. Coming in at number 2, we have Fight Club, the video game. Oh, man.
Go into, like, your inner psyche, like,
no,
in the Dead Space.
There's only one thing. It's a line of dialogue, and it says, what is the first rule of Fight Club? And you have 3 options.
It's a multiple choice game.
I'm not allowed to talk about it. Fight Club, what Fight Club? And it's something that Brad Pitt put together in his basement.
Yeah, I go with that one.
Yeah.
Well, then you get killed, and that's game over.
Can you beat up on Brad Pitt in the game?
I don't know. Maybe. Probably.
If you can, but I will go out and buy it.
I think it would be Edward Norton, since, I mean, you know, he is Tyler Durden.
Yeah. But this is a game, so anything's possible.
That's true. There could definitely be. I think beating up Meatloaf would be fun, though.
He just absorbs the blows, though.
He would just cry.
I need to make more music.
I need to make more addiction.
All right. Oh, man. You see, Charlie, once again, can't make a comment because she hasn't seen Fight Club.
Hey, no. Fred Durst is in the game.
Yep.
And Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
If
you, like, play through the entire story, you unlock Abraham Lincoln. Something that like
actually,
that.
Wow.
That was actually the First Amendment, was don't talk about Fight Club.
Fourscore and
That was in the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah. Don't talk about Fight Club.
Coming in at number 1 this week of our top 10 list for bad movie-based video games, we have Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
You know, I've always wanted to play as Jean-Claude Van Damme.
My response is no.
It's so sad. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no.
Basically, it's a bad video game based on a bad movie based on a pretty good fighting game.
Yeah.
In short,
the hell's wrong with this universe?
I don't understand where they got the concept for that.
Oh, I do.
It's a Have movie you
guys seen the movie? There's like no fighting in the whole movie, practically.
No, it's just Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, this is America.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's a fun
Russian accent or whatever the hell he is.
Yeah. Jean-Claude Van Damme, he can't act to begin with, so I didn't expect much. I
would because like his muscles do the acting for him. April Fool!
Yeah, so...
Can you honk that horn one more time, Clint?
It sounded like it sounded like the Hot Fuzz, like goose sound, like the honk.
Oh yeah.
Honk.
Oh man.
Honk.
Oh honk. Man. Oh man, eh?
Oh, man.
Talk about your video games, eh?
Talk about what's that all about?
Nick, anything you want to talk about?
A boot about a boot.
A boot.
Chuck.
Like, which one do you say more often, though? A boot or about?
About.
About?
It's like
a combination of the two.
About. Yeah, it almost had like a about.
About. It's like auga, but with about.
About.
<Abuda. laughs> What's your polar bear's name?
Flukakins. I named them.
You renamed him.
Yeah, before it was like blatant, like
French.
Pierre.
Pierre. Pierre.
Pierre. Omne tout fromage.
That's what said it.
Pierre fromage.
Damn, Dexter's
laughing because I'm dying a little on the inside. Oops.
Is it because that's actually what your polar bear's name is?
Yeah.
Yep.
So we can talk about your way of talking, but don't insult the polar bear.
A boot. Don't talk about the polar bear.
Don't talk about the polar bear.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I feel terrible now.
I don't.
About the polar bear.
I know, it's getting warmer here, slightly. A couple degrees. He's not doing too well.
Oh,
well, just
man.
Be careful. At warmer weather, polar bears turn into brown bears, and he'll just attack you in your sleep.
Yeah, I'm boned, in short.
But if he kills enough server bots, he turns into a black bear, and you don't want to mess with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're out of luck with that one.
Oh, man. Okay, so... He'll
break into your car and steal your food.
He turns into Yogi Bear.
Hey, boo-boo.
Gross. So he turns into Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, crap. Hey, at least you can talk to him about the new Ghostbusters movie.
But it's occurred in that film. Is Bill Murray a ghost?
Hey, boo-boo. Hey, boo-boo. Alright, that's pretty much all we have for Overcast Episode 6, Under the Effects of an Anti-Gravity Device. And we are under the effects of an anti-gravity device coming towards the end of this episode, as you can tell from the rapid devolvement
of this podcast.
Where did it all go?
I don't know. It went about a boot 3 kilometers or more. I can't even do it.
I feel so bad, man, for laughing.
Thank you for joining us for episode 6 of Overcast. I am one of your hosts, Clint Prentice, joined here today by my two co-hosts, Nicholas Clement.
Yep.
Charlie Knupp.
Hi.
And our guest, Stephen Katie.
Hey, boo-boo.
Anyway.
No. over.
No! No! We did what we came here to do, Jeffrey! Cover song by cover song! We're shaping the youth of America!
Ah, I'm not allowed to do that anymore!
I don't know if I could do it, editor. I think I'd have to go with Jane Rocker's dad. No, his dad. I'm going to go with Dan Riker's dad.
The okay. Almighty I'm Paul Riker.
But I don't know what editor to do.